Hey, I am super happy that 2024 is coming. Amen? Can I get an amen? Anybody else? I'm thankful that 2023, yes, if you could pull that forward, turn it on for me, that'd be great. Glad that 2023 is going away. We're bringing in a new year. And how many of you are going to stay up and watch the ball drop? Okay. Kids, you too? All right. We'll see if that happens or not. Some of you look a little young. I bet you're going to conk out at some point. But maybe with enough sugar, enough motivation, you'll be able to watch the ball drop. A lot of people all over the world are going to be watching, you know, bands playing tonight. And people in Times Square that are so crowded and they've been there for hours and hours that they can't even leave to use the restroom. Could you imagine? No thanks. That's why all the young people are there. Us older folk are like, uh-uh, that's not my scene. Right? But we're gonna go and we're gonna watch and we're gonna count down from 10 to 1 and we're gonna ring in the new year. And some of us are going to grab our spouse and we're going to give them a kiss right at midnight. And others of you that are single are just going to awkwardly watch someone else do it. I've been there. I remember those days. Well, I'm also glad that the kids are up here today. I'm happy to be able to spend some time worshiping with my son. It's something that we don't get to do very often. So it's good to have them up here. And I really do appreciate that time. For some of us, New Year's is a time of reflection. It's a time of looking at the past year and thinking about all that has transpired. And we look back and we celebrate the things that went really well. And we also look back and we think, there are some things that I can do better, right? So we start to make some resolutions for those things. And I also want to tell you, kids, now that you're up here, now that you're a part of this Family Fusion Sunday, I want you to look forward to something. Are you ready? I'm going to say a potty word during my sermon today. So be on the lookout for that, kids, okay? And there's going to be some audience participation. Something to look forward to, right? It's always a good thing. You know, they say that time waits for no one. Time waits for no one. Albert Einstein said this of time. He said, I never think of the future. It comes soon enough. It comes soon enough. So no matter how the past year went, the new year is coming, like it or not. There's no preventing it. There's no stopping it. Time continues whether we want it to or not. We can't get back the moments that we missed this past year. They're done and they're gone. We can't rewind the clock and try things over again. But what we can do is look forward to what lies ahead. Look forward to what lies ahead. And that's the title of this sermon. And it comes from Philippians chapter 3. Our main verses are 13 and 14. Here's what it says. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for opening our eyes to let go of what's behind and strain forward to what is in the future. And God, we know that you are the Father of all time, that time wouldn't exist without you creating it. And God, here we are year after year getting older. Our bodies are getting older. We're not able to do the things that we once could. And yet, God, we have a hope for the future. God, no matter what happened this past year, we have a hope for what lies ahead. And we thank you for that hope because it can only come through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So that's our main text. And Paul wants us to remember two things, just two things this morning. On the back of your bulletin, it just says sermon notes. Take some notes. Whatever you think applies to your life, whatever was like, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. Hopefully there's something like that in this sermon. I don't know. I'm no Jay or Lynn, but I try. Make some notes on there. But here's one of the first note that I want you to make. The first thing that Paul says is forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what's behind or letting go of what is behind. And second is this. This is the second point. Straining toward what is ahead. Straining toward what is ahead. Now, you could put that in your own words, but these are the two main points that Paul wants us to have in our heads and in our hearts this morning. He first says, forgetting what is left behind. Now, this word for forgetting in the Greek, it means to stop dwelling on it. It means to stop letting it distract you. So to forget about it means to put it aside. You know it's there, but you're not going to focus on it. That's what forgetting what is left behind means. Paul says, everything that's happened in the past, I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to move forward. So the main theme, again, is going to be moving forward. See, sometimes our regrets and sometimes our shortcomings, the terrible things that happened to us in the past, separate us from being like Jesus. They separate us sometimes in focusing on Jesus. And if we sat down to reflect on our past year, I'm sure that we'd have some regrets. I'm sure that we would wish we could have some do-overs, if you would. I'm sure that there are a lot of things that we would have changed that we would have done differently in 2023. And hindsight's 2020, isn't it? When we get to the other side of things, it's easy to look back and say, wow, if I could have just done this slightly differently. Now, for me and my family, we had aspirations of saving more money, having more money in that savings account, painting our dining room walls. That didn't happen. Getting pregnant. That didn't happen. None of that came to fruition. We have regrets of going to the hospital several times, and now we're paying the hospital bills. We have some regrets. And all of us, we kind of have these personal regrets. We look back and we think, wow, if only I would have made this decision, or if only I would have done this differently, then this thing could have happened. And these are all things that we can choose to reflect on. These are all things that could steal our focus and maybe even steal our joy away. And it can distract us from focusing on the prize. It can distract us from focusing on where God has put us right now and distract us from heaven. If you find yourself reflecting too much on the past, it's time to let go of what is behind. God's word says that his mercies are made new every morning. Amen? Every morning when you wake up, God's mercies are new for you. You don't have to keep clinging to the past. Not everything's going to be perfect. There are going to be some things that are downright hard in your life. And God says, let go of it and give it to me. And when we do that, now we can strain forward to what is ahead. Forgive yourself for the things in the past, just as your heavenly Father forgives you. You don't have to remain shackled to your past. You don't have to be in bondage and chains to your past. You don't have to let it weigh you down. You don't need to let it make you depressed and to grieve over it more and more. So maybe it's time this morning that you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, Garrett, I'm done holding on to this. I'm done letting this weigh me down in 2024. And I'm ready to look forward to the future. Maybe it's stealing away the joy that you have in Jesus Christ. But you can get past your past. You might write that one down. You can get past your past with the help of Jesus Christ. In order to move forward with no strings attached, you're going to have to cut it and let it go. Let it go. In this passage, Paul's not just talking about past regrets and past mistakes. He's talking about our former selves, the people that we used to be. You know, the people that we were before we knew and loved Jesus Christ, the people that we were before we were baptized into his likeness. And we look back on our past and we die to that person and we raise again a new life completely devoted to Jesus Christ. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The exclamation point on that is very important. The new is here. Right now. It's exciting that the new is here right now. That exclamation point is very important. Very important. We have to be excited about it. We have to get up about it, that the old is gone and that the new has come. And it's this new person that needs to let go of what is behind. It's this new person that needs to sever ourselves from our past. But what does it mean to strain forward to what is ahead? What does that mean? Well, Paul clarifies that throughout this chapter in Philippians. So let's get some context. We're going to go back to verses 4 through 6 in Philippians. Excuse me. Paul gives a list of his accolades and his achievements. And these are the things that the world would see in Paul. Here's what he says. Although I myself could boast as having confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he is confident in the flesh, I have more reason. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. See, Paul was the cream of the crop. Paul could go around and he could boast to anybody about how he followed everything that God wanted from him. He was at the top of his game. He had everything it meant to be a good Jew and to be a good Pharisee. Paul had achieved those things. He was zealous for God. He followed his commandments, he says, to the fullest extent. That's over 400 laws that Paul carried and that Paul fulfilled. You could say that he was summa cum laude in his class. He was at the top. He was the best. But it wasn't good enough. It was not good enough. Paul looks back on his former self and he says, it means nothing. And we see that in the following verses. In verse 7 it says, but whatever things were gained to me, all those things that I just talked about, whatever those things were gain to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Jesus Christ. These things I consider and count as loss. Now, this word for loss in the Greek is the same word that would be used if you're on a ship that's going to capsize and you have to throw stuff overboard. That's what loss means. So Paul says, I can take all of these things that may seem like gains in my life, these good things that are present in my life, and if it comes in between me and Jesus Christ, I'm going to get rid of them. They're going to be gone. I consider them a loss. They're not important to me. They mean nothing to me. Paul was willing to throw it all out, all of his credentials, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And this is the root of Paul's message here in Philippians 3. There are a lot of gains in our lives. I think about when I take my son up to bed and I pray with him, I often bring up these gains that we have in our lives, these things that we have that people all over the world don't have. We have clothing, we have food, we have shelter, maybe too much food. We have things that we want, toys and video games and books. And all of these things are gains in our lives. We are more blessed than the majority of people on earth. But Paul says that we should be willing to throw it all away for the sake of Jesus Christ. If it's coming between you and your relationship with Jesus, you should be willing to throw it away. Jesus is more important than your accolades and your medals and your titles and your boat, and your fancy house, and your 401k, Jesus is more important. Amen? Amen just says, I agree with you, okay? That's all you're doing this morning. He gives us even stronger language in this next verse. Kids, you're going to want to pay attention. Remember, I was going to tell you a potty word. You're going to learn it right now. He says this in verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as mere rubbish so that I may gain Christ. There's the potty word. The potty word is rubbish. You know what rubbish means? Rubbish means refuse. Rubbish means dung. Kids, do you know what dung means? Some of you do. If you don't know what dung means, I'm giving you permission right now to turn to your parent, to turn to your guardian, and to ask your guardian what dung means. Go ahead. Go ahead. Dung means poo. There's your potty word. Now, why is it important? Well, it's important because this verse says that I consider all of these accolades, these gains, these things that the world thinks is good, and I consider them poo in light of Jesus Christ. Talk about a dichotomy. I mean, this is completely opposite sides of the spectrum, right? These are things that I don't care about. I don't need them. All they do is stink up my life compared to what Jesus does in my life. Paul says these gains, these achievements, they're just as useless, they're just as meaningless, they're just as repelling as dung. He's willing to throw it all away for the sake of Jesus Christ. So my question to you this morning is, what are you holding on to? What are you still holding on to in your past that's not allowing you to spend time with Jesus Christ? That's what Paul wants to know. What gains, maybe, are you holding on to and you're forgetting about the importance of Jesus Christ? I'm going to step on some feet. I'm going to step on some toes this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. You might be spending too much time on something that you think is a gain that's not gaining anything for Jesus Christ. And I say that from experience. I say that with tears in my eyes, because we all do it. We all focus and put our minds on things that ought not to be focused on, and we lose sight of Jesus Christ. This could be your job. It could be your finances. It could be your friends that you hang out with, the fun that you have. It could even be you playing sports or your kids playing sports. Oftentimes that we forget that these gains mean nothing without Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped to consider that these gains may be rubbish in the sight of God? Why? Because you've taken a good thing that God has given you and you've squandered it, because all you're focusing on is yourself and you're not focusing on Jesus Christ. Have you ever paused for a moment to reflect on whether or not Jesus is found in your day-to-day life? See, Paul spent a long time, years and years and years, studying the law, learning the law, following strict Jewish requirements of being a Pharisee. He spent years pursuing it and doing the best that he could until he was the best of the best. He dedicated himself to it. He memorized scripture. He followed over 400 laws and commandments. And then he met Jesus. Then he met Jesus. And Jesus blinded him to his old ways, to his old self, until his view of the past fell like scales from his eyes. And when his eyes were open, all he could see was Jesus. That's it. Now, in that moment in Paul's life, when Jesus shook him and woke him up and said, "I am Jesus that you are persecuting," Paul's whole life changed. But he could have, in that moment, looked back on his past. Wow, I wasted years and years and years of my life pursuing what I thought was right in the sight of God. And he could have dwelled on those things. And if Paul would have stayed and he would have sulked and he would have been depressed and he wouldn't let go of the past, he would not be able to strain forward to the future, to what lies ahead. And we wouldn't have 2/3 of the New Testament that we have today. But he met Jesus. He had this constant desire to know Jesus. He was putting away being a zealous Pharisee and being zealous now for Jesus Christ. He constantly pursued him. He wanted to know him more. Not only did he want to know him more, not only did he read his Bible to know him more, but he wanted to have a relationship with Jesus. And you see Paul throughout his epistles saying, I'm not one of the 12 disciples. There are many people that are more important than me, but I will put Christ first. And that's, again, what gets us to this main text in Philippians 3:13, where Paul says, I want to forget and let go of what is behind. My old self, my former self, in all of its glory and splendor, I've died to that person, and now I'm a new being completely devoted to Christ. And I strain toward what is ahead. See, people often look at that verse and they think that Paul's saying only to let go of the bad things. But I'm telling you right now, there are things in your life that may seem good to you, that may seem good to other people, but they are not bringing joy to Jesus Christ. And we need to let go of those things. There are sometimes things in our lives that seem well and seem good, but they're distracting us from the example of Jesus Christ. We have to let go of them. Philippians 3:18-19, Paul says, for many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even as I weep, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who have their minds on what, church? They have their minds on earthly things. They have their minds on earthly things. There are some Christians that claim to know Jesus and to love Jesus and yet are missing the point. They haven't even touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And they can look at this verse and see where Paul says enemies of the cross of Christ, and they automatically think they're just talking about non-Christians. That's not entirely true. Paul talks throughout his epistles about people that claim to know and love Jesus that are distracting people from Jesus. They're putting things before Jesus. They've relied on themselves to achieve what they want to achieve, but the Bible is not a self-help book. The Bible is a book of sacrifice. It's about laying aside your wants and pursuing what God wants for you. Paul says that some of these people, some of these Christians, these people, they may have other people fooled. They may have other gains that people think are godly, but it's leading them to destruction. I've had countless conversations with people in the church that are hurting and that are making poor decisions. A lot of these ending in divorce. And it hurts me. And I read Paul's words saying, with tears in his eyes, he's writing these words that there are people that are stealing away from Jesus Christ. See, church, we have a responsibility that when we see our brother or our sister in Christ stumbling, to encourage them to get back up. Encourage. It's not a matter of saying, I'm better than you, follow me. No, it's about we're all in the same boat. Let's follow Jesus together. It's okay to pick them back up and to encourage them to press on toward the goal and to maybe let go of what is in the past. So maybe your spouse did say those words. Maybe he does struggle with that addiction. Maybe she did say that to that person. But what's happened has happened. And forgiveness always comes through Jesus Christ for those who seek it. It's there. We have to pick ourselves back up because the goal in this life is not to make as much money as you can. The goal in this life is not to be as happy as you can. The goal in this life is not to be yourself as the world puts it. That is not your goal in life. Your goal in life is to clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. And your goal in life is to pursue Jesus Christ. That's your goal. Don't listen to what the world is trying to tell you to do. If it takes you away from that, then you need to center yourself and you need to let go of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that you get the prize. Now, I don't run, as you can see. And if I do run, I have a goal like kicking something or getting to the next base. I've never agreed with running for the sake of running. I'm not a sprinter. I am not, what else? Cross country? No thanks. Can't do it. But I do know when I watch races, they all do the same thing when they get to the end. They strain toward what's ahead. Their focus is on one place, and they run to that goal. You know what I don't see people doing? I don't see them running to the finish line looking back. Because what's behind you is behind you. You have one goal in mind. Paul says we have one goal, to be like Jesus. And if we achieve that, if we pursue that, we have heaven in mind. So stop looking back and look toward the prize. Stay focused and stay vigilant. And so Paul finishes chapter 3 by saying this. He says, for our citizenship, the place where we belong, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Paul says that our ultimate goal is heaven. That's where our citizenship is. Most of the time in our lives, we remain focused on the earthly. We remain focused on the temporal. And we have a year goal, and we have 5-year goals, and we have 10-year goals. What about the goal of heaven? And what if we were to have that goal in mind daily? How would that transform your life? If every day you wake up and you say, my goal is heaven, I think it would change our lives tremendously. And I tell you what, I look forward to that day because the word here says that it will transform the body of our lowly condition. And I am excited for that. That I can have a heavenly body. Someday a long time ago, I used to have a heavenly body. I used to work out. I used to do crunches every night. Never got a six-pack, though. Anybody else, like, not able to get a six-pack? Like, no matter what you did, yes, amen, I feel yous, all right? But I thank God that this earthly body, now, I know I'm making a joke, and I'm kidding, but kidding aside, this is temporal. This is only going to last for a certain amount of time. And with age, things are going to start not working the way that they used to. And we get to trade this in because we've let go of what's behind and we've died to our old selves, and we get to pick up eventually a heavenly form and to be with God forever. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 to 26, it says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. If we're looking toward the prize, then we're going to clear the path for God. God, what I have set before me is only so that I can please you. That is my goal, to please my God. So press on toward the goal. Let that be on the forefront of your mind so that you can glorify God and reflect Jesus Christ. Again, our prize is in heaven. We long for a day when we can be in the presence of God Himself. When we can be in the presence of the Almighty, where we get to meet Jesus. Where we get to be filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit and never again experience imperfection that's dead and gone, and we raise to a new life in eternity with a heavenly being. I pray that you look forward to that day. But for now, what we have is today, and the past is gone, and we can let go of it. If you're holding on to it, hoping that something is going to change, or you're letting it bring you down, then this morning, this new year, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it go and strain toward what lies ahead. Let's pray. Father God, I'm very thankful for you. God, I'm thankful that before you even created Adam and Eve, before you created the heavens and the earth, God, you knew your plan for us. And God, your plan was to redeem us through Jesus Christ. God, your plan was for us to be putting our old self to death, the same way that Jesus was dead and buried, and God, you raise us to a new life. And God, I want to say right now, this morning, that we're sorry. We're sorry, God, for holding on to things that we don't need to hold on to. God, I know that there are people in these seats, there are people maybe watching at home, that they need to let go of the junk that they have. But God, it doesn't just lay there. It doesn't just stay there stagnant. We give it to you, knowing that you can release us from all of our burdens, God, and you can help us to strain toward what is ahead. God, may this new year of 2024 be completely devoted to you, and may our path be clear as we focus on heaven. Amen.